It's Friday, the 18th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Charles Oakley. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Drew Oso 321567. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Drew Oso 321567, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and it's as simple as that. If you want to be like moneyball.com.au and be a sponsor of the podcast as well, hey, hit me up on email or on Twitter. Make sure you're checking out Moneyball, though. They are a great site. Had a nice day there on Moneyball today. There was some massively... For a day that I thought was going to be a low-scoring fantasy day, massive, massive scores. I think the top score in the Moneyball tournament today was about 365 or 370, which is huge. There were some games that were clearly... I'll say not expected, because that's not true. But just some huge scores that we didn't really anticipate happening. Join in Moneyball. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, it is our only daily fantasy sports site, so make sure you're getting involved there and catching up on all the daily fantasy action that we've missed out on for the last couple of years where we haven't been able to do it legally. All right, guys, the three games on Thursday, there's 12 games on Friday, so clearly we're going to be more preview heavy in today's show, but let's not waste any more time.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. There was definitely a couple of options here. I went with Russell Westbrook for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He had 27 points. He hit a three. Three rebounds and 10 assists, which is great, obviously. Three steals. But part of the appeal in what Westbrook did here was the fact that he went 10 of 18 from the field, and he hit all six of his free throws. So it gave you the big boost in percentages as well as giving you a double-double, a 27 and 10, and the three steals is huge. So Westbrook was great. It wasn't enough for the Thunder to get the victory over the Cavs. LeBron was obviously the other guy that I was considering for the monstrous line of the night, but now his percentages were a little bit off, and his turnovers were quite high as well. He had seven turnovers, but Westbrook is the guy that I gave it to here. A huge night from him, and you're pretty happy if you drafted Westbrook in the first round. He's been awesome, and there's what more can I say about Russell Westbrook? Really, he's been putting up some pretty exquisite type numbers. Averaging 25.6, 7 rebounds, 9.5 assists, 2.4 steals, 1.5 threes on 47% shooting. I think that's probably the big surprise from him this year, is the 47% shooting. 85% from the line, we sort of anticipate, but he's never been a guy shooting that high a percentage, and he just looks he looks fantastic. There's not much more to say about Russell Westbrook, I don't think. Anyway, the waiver wire line of the night was Bismack Biyombo, who played 40 minutes for the Raptors in the overtime game against the Charlotte Hornets. 8 points, but 18 rebounds, a steal, and 7 blocks on 2 of 4 shooting and 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Get those numbers correct. And that's exactly what you want Biyombo to do. If you added him, you want rebounds and you want blocks. Now, 7 is a surprise. You don't expect 7 out of him, and you probably don't expect 18 rebounds, but that's exactly what he's going to do. It's going to be no points, it's going to be no assists, no threes, it's going to be bad free throw percentage, but you're going to get good rebounding and good blocks, and that's exactly what he did here. Before the injury to Lucas Nogueira, Biyombo's minutes were getting cut and Nogueira was playing into them, but since he's come back into the rotation, Bebe hasn't been playing as many minutes, and Biyombo is getting big run. He's averaged 33 minutes across his last four, 12.3 rebounds and 2.8 blocks on 54% shooting. It's basically exactly what you want him to do in that role. If you went in expecting him to be a 14-point scorer, then you were projecting things very incorrectly. At least until Valanciunas comes back, it looks like he's going to be a nice rebounds and block sort of player. There is that chance that Nogueira cuts into it a little bit, but what we've seen recently is that Dwayne Casey is not going that route. He's running Nogueira out there the 30-plus minutes, and Nogueira's getting 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, not that 15 to 20 range that he was getting before he suffered that ankle injury. So Biyombo is not necessarily a must-own player, but he probably should be owned in all leagues, at least for the time being, for the next couple of weeks. That's probably as far as we need to go. The young gun of the night, player who is sort of similar to Bismack Biyombo in what he offers, but Clint Capella from the Houston Rockets. He played 28 minutes as the starting power forward. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 blocks on 4 of 6 shooting. Now, his per 36 numbers have always been very impressive, and no different this year. But the concern we have with him is, what's the minutes going to be like with Terrence Jones there, with Dwight Howard there, obviously, and then the return of Donatas Motiejunas? Well, he played 28 minutes here. Jones and Motiejunas both played off the bench behind him and played less minutes. But I think that the concern is that is going to fluctuate. There'll be nights when Capella, instead of playing 28 minutes, plays 21 minutes or plays 22 minutes. And that's not going to be enough to really, you know, have him as a viable 12-team league guy. But even in 20 minutes this season, he's ranked 110th, 8.7 rebounds, a steal, 1.3 blocks on 61% shooting. So there is still value in him, even in the limited role. He is not someone that shouldn't be owned in 12-team leagues. There is definitely risk associated with him, and you've got to deal with a very poor free throw percentage. He's at 44% on the season. But if he can maintain 25 to 26 minutes a game, which might be difficult, granted, he's going to be valuable. There's no doubt, because he does have you know, great upside, or great per 36 minute upside. I still think that Motiejunas is going to cut into his playing time a bit, and there's rumors more today coming that Markieff Morris might be getting traded to the Rockets. I'll touch on all that a little bit later, and that would impact him obviously as well. But for now, you can do a lot worse than having Clint Capella in your 12-team league, assuming your team is set up to deal with a free throw percentage guy like him. The dud of the night is Roy Hibbert of Los Angeles Lakers. He played just 22 minutes, 4 points and 4 rebounds with a block on 2 of 7 shooting. Not a great night for Roy. He's still been okay this season, but faltering a little bit lately. The points are not there. He's averaging less than double digits for the first time in almost his whole career. Less than 7 rebounds a game, less than 2 blocks a game. For his lack of what he does offensively and rebound-wise, you need to give him 2.5 blocks a game. He's just not doing that. The one thing he does give you is really good free throw percentage. He's at 85% on the season, and it's not easy to find a guy at 1.9 blocks with that high a free throw percentage. So he still has value in some spots, but he's not a must-own guy. For the last month, he's ranked 148th, and he's more of a let's stream a guy in to get some blocks in a team where I'm not punting free throws, because he's not going to hurt you. I don't think that he has to be held onto in every league. Definitely not 10-team leagues, and even 12-team leagues, you're probably better off using that spot to fill in the categories you need by streaming it. The daily fantasy value play of the day was Bismack Biyombo. He was priced at 4,000, and he put up 45.6. So, obviously a pretty big performance. Yeah, that's the right word. Sorry, I'm struggling with my words here, because it is unbelievably hot here in Melbourne at the moment, as it is through most of Australia at the moment. It is approximately 40 degrees, which, if my conversions are correct, it's around 108 Fahrenheit, something around that. Someone might be able to correct me, but it's bloody hot. I know that. And it's I'm struggling after, you know, it's a Friday afternoon here. It's been hot for the last 2 days. It's going to be hot for the next 2 days. It's very warm. And so if you see beads of sweat dripping down my head, that's the reason. All right, let's look at these box scores now in that little bit more detail by getting into the games. Let's bring that up on the screen for you guys watching the video. There we are. All right, let's talk about it. There was only 3 games, so I don't think this is going to take us too long. The first game was the Raptors and the Hornets. DeMar DeRozan was great again, 31, 4, and 5 with a steal and a block, and had a game-winning three-pointer waved off at the buzzer, which would have obviously won the game for the Raptors. Didn't count. Terrence Ross had his best game in a while, 17 points with 5 triples. Doesn't do much else, though, rebounds, assists, and steals. And this is the perfect spot for him in terms of, you could have streamed him in on a low-volume game day, got the 17 points and 5 threes, and then I'd be more than happy moving on from here, because he's had a couple of big games, and the rest have all been stinkers. Corey Joseph is getting lots of playing time, but he's not doing much with it. 34 minutes for him here, 7, 4, and 1. 2 steals, a block, and a 3 is still pretty useful. So I don't hate owning him in 12-team leagues, but he's not doing a huge amount. Luis Scola and Patrick Patterson were terrible. 2 points each, 5 rebounds for Scola, 3 for Patterson. They're back-end streaming 12-team league guys, while Kyle Lowry was just horrible. Horrible shooting. 6 of 29. That is just disgusting. RIP, your field goal percentage. He went 3 of 17 from 3. And then he also struggled from the free throw line, 5 of 7. Still ended up with 20 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 threes. So the counting stats were great, but the percentages were just brutal. I'm not too worried about him. He's been a first-round player all season. That's just one of those things that happens, I think. On to the Charlotte Hornets, Jeremy Lin. He got the start with Nick Batum out and was fantastic. 47 minutes for Lin, 35 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 threes. Even before this performance, he'd been putting up value where you had to start looking at him in 12-team leagues. The minutes were ramping up. He was becoming close to a 30-minute-a-game player. He's averaging actually 30 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks on 14 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and a 3. So a triple one guy basically over the last 2 weeks. And that's valuable in 12-team leagues. It's hard to find 3.5 assists off the waiver wire and add in those defensive numbers, which probably won't stick. Although he is at 0.8 steals and 0.7 blocks on the year. He's got a spot in 12-team leagues. It might not last that long, but he's currently being favored over Jeremy Lamb pretty easily. Lamb played okay in the last game, but the games before that, Lamb wasn't able to get over 20 minutes while Lin was playing pretty decent minutes. He's the guy that you want there. Now, Nick Batum was out in this game, so that gave Lin the extra run. But you know, when Batum comes back, obviously it cuts into Lin's playing time, but I'm okay with owning him. Kemba Walker, 27-6-7 with a steal and 2 blocks. A big game from him also. And Marvin Williams got a double-double, including a couple of threes with a steal and a block. So good all-round games from those guys. And PJ Hairston followed up with his second pretty decent game in a row. Played 35 minutes, again, due to the Nick Batum illness. 14 points with 4 triples, but he's still only a deep league consideration player. Cody Zeller fouled out in 21 minutes. He had 5-6, which is not terrible, but it allowed more minutes for Frank Kaminsky, who played 27, and Spencer Hawes played 23. 5-10 with 3 steals and a block for Hawes. Kaminsky went 6-6 with 3 blocks. So both those guys did their little bits, and Zeller's still, you know, the pick of the bunch, most likely. I still think he's the most talented of those guys, but he does battle with foul trouble an awful lot, and it makes it hard to keep owning him in 12-team leagues, but I'm still holding him in the league that I do own him. Al Jefferson's only 3 games away, though, so if you want to drop Zeller, his value is going to crater very, very quickly. If there's someone else you want, move on. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Touched on Westbrook before. Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka both scored over 20 points. Durant went 25-3-5 with a couple of blocks, and Ibaka went 23-9 with a block. And then it was a whole bunch of just crap, like just garbage from the Thunder. Dion Waiters was 4 points. Enes Kanter, 6-6. Steven Adams, 4-5 with a block. Nothing to really get too excited about any of those players there. Onto the Cavs. LeBron almost got a triple-double. 33-9-11 with a couple of twos and a couple of threes and a couple of steals on 12 of 27 shooting. I did have those 7 turnovers. Kevin Love went 11-7-5 with 2 threes and with 2 steals as well. Not a terrible night from him. And we saw a big game from Tristan Thompson. Off the bench, played 35 minutes, had 14 points and 15 rebounds with a block on 7 of 10 shooting. But like Biyombo, he's basically a rebound specialist. And this is his first game of getting big minutes in recent memory. He's still averaging 10 boards a game over the last month of action. And that can be useful if you're looking to bump your rebounds. But his playing time has been sporadic. He's barely getting to 30 minutes on most nights, and that's going to impact the usefulness of him in standard leagues. Mo Williams was out. Iman Shumpert was out. So Matthew Dellavedova played 39 minutes. He went 11-5-10 with 3 threes. So he was obviously a really nice streaming option, but that value is going to disappear when Williams, Shumpert, and Kyrie Irving return, which will hopefully be in the next game or two. Richard Jefferson played 32 minutes here, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 3 threes, and an assist, so not a bad night there. And if you did use him in DFS at the minimum salary, you would have been pretty happy with that return at minimum salary, especially him getting the 32 minutes there. I forgot to bring that up on the screen, sorry guys. The next game is the Houston Rockets, well that's the last game, the Houston Rockets and Los Angeles Lakers. Trevor Ariza filled the stat sheet, 13-5-4 with 3 threes and 3 steals. James Harden went 25-6-6, and Dwight Howard went 16-15 with a couple of blocks, but really bad percentages from Dwight, 3 of 10 from the field, and then his standard 10 of 18 from the free throw line. Pat Beverley went 13-4 with a couple of steals and 3 threes, so basically exactly what you expect from him. And Terrence Jones actually played okay in terms of his shooting. He went 5 of 7 from the field for 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and a 3. So once again, he showed that he can be really fantasy friendly, but I just don't think he's good enough as a player to demand minutes over, or demand enough minutes over guys like Capella and Motiejunas. And Motiejunas played 19 minutes here and went 8-4 with a 3-pointer. I think he's the best player out of the trio, but he's also the least fantasy-friendly out of those three guys as well. So even if he was starting and playing 25 minutes, doesn't mean he's a must-own fantasy guy. He doesn't have the ability to rack up the stats like Jones and like Capella does, as we touched on Capella a little bit earlier. On to the Lakers. Julius Randle was playing really well, so of course Byron Scott didn't want to play in minutes. 23 only for Randle, 18-10 with a 3, 2 assists and a steal. That's a really good performance. But Byron Scott would rather run Larry Nance out there for 28 minutes. Now, Nance was actually okay. 11-5 with a steal and a block. But just get Randle out there, please. Lou Williams, another 31 minutes. He's basically 31 minutes every night. 14-5-3 with 2 threes and a block. He's a points. He's a 3-point guy. Can get you some steals and definitely has a spot in 12-team leagues at this point. D'Angelo Russell struggled. 1-9 shooting for 2 points. Did add 7 assists and a steal, so helped a little bit there, but not a good night from him. While Kobe had a huge dunk over Clint Capella, 22-8-3 with 2 threes. 9 of 16 from the field for Kobe, which is great. 56% from the field, you don't expect that from him these days. You also don't expect him to go 2 of 7 from the free throw line, which is not an ideal effort from Kobe, but he has looked so much better since announcing his retirement plans. Jordan Clarkson played 39 minutes and went 12-4-4. With a couple of steals, which is an okay line, nothing to get too excited, but he's still a must-own 12-team league guy to me. All right, before we head into the daily fantasy stuff, just want to give you a heads-up about our sponsor for this episode, No Halftime. You know what No Halftime is, don't you? I hope you do. If you haven't, go and download the app. It's available on iOS devices. Download the No Halftime app and use their promo code DUNK. Get yourself $25 free. How easy is it to get $25 free? It's not easy to just go out and then people are going to give you money. No Halftime is going to give you money. $25 free. If you don't know what No Halftime is, it's basically think you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and you're thinking to yourself, I just want to challenge one player. You know, I've got my seasonal league, I've got my DFS lineup, and there are teams of guys building totals and all that sort of stuff. No Halftime, it's one-on-one. It's Patrick Beverley versus Jordan Clarkson from today. It's Dwight Howard. It's Julius Randle versus Clint Capella. You pick a guy, your opponent picks a guy, head-to-head, whoever has the most points wins. It doesn't get any easier than that. You know how quick it is to do it? To accept a challenge, you go into the screen and there's challenges there. Tick the box, cross the box, yes I accept, no I don't. Create your own, make it private, make it public. And you can do it in other sports as well, NFL, NHL, baseball when it restarts, college football, college basketball. There's so much to do on No Halftime. And you get free money. I can't stress that enough. Join today. Get started. It's real money. Fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit nohalftime.com for more information. And you can download the app from there or straight from your app store. Receive that $25 bonus by entering in the promo code DUNK. I'll put that up on the screen now for you guys who are watching along. Promo code DUNK at the sign up. And that's it. $25 goes straight into your account. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, well, the fantasy sports season might not take a break. I'm going to take a break because I am melting here. I'm going to have a quick drink, and then we're going to be back to talk about the games for Friday. I saw you. We are back, and there are 12 games on. It's a lot of games. Most definitely, it's a lot of games. And I reckon you're going to be able to find a fair bit of fantasy value throughout these games. Fingers crossed. The first one we look at is the Portland Trail Blazers and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 5. The total is 199. CJ Watson has been already ruled out. He's not impacting anything, really. But Damian Lillard's the one we want to check out. He had an ankle issue in the Blazers' last game. He's considered probable. He's never missed a game. And if he's considered probable, he's playing. I don't think we've got too much to worry about, but there could be some sort of news. Thankfully, it's a Magic home game, so it's not a late start where we're going to get a Greg Monroe late scratch sort of situation. So we're going to know before lineups lock, definitely. So that's good news. In terms of fantasy value, the Magic guys are frustrating. Nick Vucevic is probably the best of the bunch, 7,300. But if the game becomes out of hand, and either way they're getting smashed or they're beating the Blazers comfortably, he's going to play 27 minutes. If the game's close, he's going to play 33. So it's real hard to own these guys in cash games. I reckon you're going to find better options than Nick Vucevic. Aaron Gordon is not a terrible tournament play. He's at 3,700. He put up almost 23 in the last game. Yes, he can be really bad, so we don't want to deal with him in cash game situations, but in tournaments, maybe there's a little bit to see with him. The rest of the Magic players, the risk is high. I don't mind Lord Alfred Payton at 6,700. That's not a high, not a real high price tag. He's averaging 26 across his last three, but we need him to do more. So I'm going to probably steer clear there. Channing Frye's been really good lately, really solid. At 3,700, he's fine as a tournament play, but not relying upon him anywhere else. Definitely not going with Victor Oladipo. Not going with Evan Fournier. Definitely not going with Toby Harris, even though his price is down at 6,000 now. At 6,000, he still needs to go for 30 points, really, to be a 5X player, and I think it's going to be tough for him to do that. On the Blazers side of things, Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,100 is interesting. He hasn't been playing well. His ownership will be low, but that makes him just really a tournament option for me, whereas Mason Plumlee has been a little bit more consistent, averaging 27 across his last three games. He's priced at 5,300, but I'm not really sure I want to put much faith in him here either. 7,300 for CJ McCollum, that's getting a bit too steep for me. I'll leave him alone. And Damian Lillard at 9,000, no. He's only averaging 38 across his last three, but at 9,000, you need him to go 43, 45, that sort of range. And although it is an easier matchup against the Magic, with that ankle concern, maybe his minutes get docked 2 or 3, and that could be the difference between him returning value enough to be rostered. The next game we look at is the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers. A couple of injury concerns for the Nets, and we already know that Shane Larkin is out. Thomas Robinson is questionable at the moment, but his basketball ability is questionable as it is. Wayne Ellington is questionable with a shoulder, and Sergei Karasev is questionable with an ankle injury. The only one who really has an impact there is Ellington, who's been playing about 20 minutes a game off the bench with the injuries to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and to Shane Larkin. So he's someone to have a look at. But if he's going to miss time, and Bojan Bogdanovic at 3,900, that's a really low salary. He played 40 minutes in the last game. He's averaging 37 across his last five games. He does have 30-point upside. He's worth having a look at if all these wing players are going to be out. Don't mind looking at Bogdanovic. He doesn't have a very high floor, so in a cash game, it's not a great situation. But the Pacers also aren't really locking down opposition wing players. Jarrett Jack should get some pretty big minutes. He played 36 in the last game without Shane Larkin. The Pacers do lock down opposition point guard, so that's going to be working against him. But he's only 6,400. It's not an expensive salary. He's averaging 35.8 points. And if he gets you 35 here, he's done exactly what he needs to do. So I don't hate using Jarrett Jack here. The wings in Indiana, the Nets are one of the one of the easiest teams for wings to go against. Rod Stuckey's at 47,000, and he'd probably surprise you the fact that he's averaging 21 points across his last three. He's getting 25 to 26 minutes a night, and if he pushes himself up to 28 minutes here, that could be enough to return value. Monte Ellis at 6,000, not a very expensive price for Monte. He put up 32 in the last game. It is an easy matchup. Can he get 30 again? It's definitely not out of the realms of possibility, so he is not a horrible guy to look at. Brook Lopez at 7,900. That's too expensive, given he's only averaging 25.6 across his last three. We'll steer clear there. And George Hill at 5,700. Just really struggling to get anything happening at the moment. It is an easier matchup for him, but do you think he can get 27 points? I'm not that confident. His highest score in his last five is 28, so he's there, but it's definitely not a cash game situation. Thad Young, after a really hot, not even start, most of the season, he's cooled off a little bit in the last couple of games. This is not a good matchup for power forwards at 6,900. He's only averaging 25.8. That's not enough for me to get too excited with him. CJ Miles is generally only a tournament option at 5,400. We know he can go big. I imagine that the Pacers stick with their starting lineup of Paul George at the four against Thaddeus Young and the Nets. So I don't think Miles will go to the bench too often. I don't think he'll start on the bench. He could see 30 minutes here pretty comfortably, but it remains more of a tournament option. Paul George has struggled lately. At 9,600, you don't want a guy averaging 26 across his last three, which is exactly what he's doing. He needs to be pushing 44-45 point range, and he's not doing it at the moment. Now, the Nets could be the team that gets him back on track, but maybe he's still dealing with the after effects of that illness that he was suffering the other day. So I'm a little bit hesitant to use Paul George. Probably the most damning thing on Paul George is George is averaging 25.9 in his last three. Jordan Hill is averaging 25.07. Less than a point difference between Jordan Hill and Paul George in their last three games. Doesn't mean I want to go and use Jordan Hill, but he's not a bad tournament option. He's getting okay minutes, 27 on average across his last three, and those 25 points, which is good at 4,600, but not trustworthy. I'm off Jan Mahinmi here at 5,300. He's just been struggling in the last couple. And not much else really, I think, appeals in this matchup. The New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Knicks are favored by 7. The total is 196. Now, with the Knicks, and if you go and look on Basketball Monster, you'll see I've done the minutes projections for these guys. The last time the Knicks played the Sixers, a lot of their players had limited minutes. Mallow was dropped down in his minutes. Aaron Aflalo played less minutes. Jose Calderon played a few less minutes. Robert Lopez played limited minutes. The only guy who didn't really have his minutes limited was Kristaps
Porzingis.
He played, I think, 29 the last time. He had a 7-block game in the last outing that he was out on the court. He's priced at 6,400. I'm all for using Porzingis in this matchup. It is an easy matchup for power forwards. Even if he plays 28 minutes, he's been able to produce pretty nice numbers. So he's worth a look for me. Robin Lopez at 3,700 is just a tournament option because the minutes for him are just so, so hard to predict. No, that's not true. It's hard to predict which game out of every five he'll have 25 plus minutes. It's going to happen, but all the others are going to be useless. Carmelo Anthony's been really, really good lately, averaging 49 points across his last three. He had 51 in the last one. But at 8,700, the risk is that he plays 27 minutes, which is what happened the last time that Knicks played the Sixers. And that's going to really torpedo his value. So I'm very hesitant about using him in a cash game sort of setting. Langston Galloway was good in the last game too. At 4,000, he's a tournament option to me, not a cash game play. Jose Calderon, I don't think he's really worth owning anywhere. And Aaron Aflalo at 4,800 is very similar to Langston Galloway in that he can go big and he's averaging 23.7 and put up 33 in the last game. But his lack of other stats apart from scoring makes it really hard to rely upon him. Jahlil Okafor at 6,600 is not a bad matchup for the Sixers. He's been playing really well lately, averaging almost 35 across his last three. He's got a minimum score in those last five at 26.4, which is not a bad floor he's got there at 6,600. So I'm all for getting him into lineups. Nerlens Noel will be back. He will play, but it's very hard to get him out there. We don't know what we're going to see from him in terms of minutes or production. He's just a stay away from for now. The point guard situation, Isaiah Cannon, Tony Roten, Kendall Marshall, and TJ McConnell. It's a steer clear from all of those guys. Maybe Cannon, who is averaging 32 minutes across the last three, but he's not doing enough. He's only giving you 15.5 points at 4,500. You need him to do more than that. I'm off him. Robert Covington at 6,400 definitely has cooled off a little bit as well, so I don't think I'm going to be wanting to get too excited about using him. The next game is the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 4. The total is 204.5, so we're getting into a pretty decent total game here. which is obviously awesome for us fantasy-wise. Kelly Olynyk at 4,100 has had three duds in a row. This is not a difficult matchup for big men. In a tournament, you know you can get big numbers out of Olynyk. I'm definitely not playing him in a cash game, but in a tournament, there's something to be said for using him. Al Horford at 6,800. It looks appealing, but he just has been in a slump. And like the Celtics guys going up against the Hawks guys going up against the Celtics, especially their bigs, it's a decent matchup. I'm probably still not using Al Horford, though, despite the how good the matchup looks. Jared Sullinger is still falls into more of a tournament play to me at 5,900. He was great in the last one, put up 30, but in his last five, he's had a game where he had 13. The floor is just not there with him. Jay Crowder is a pretty solid guy, though. 5,400, he's going to give you that mid-20s in points, fantasy points, not total points, and at 5,400, you're relatively okay with that. Avery Bradley had a stinker in the last game, but apart from that, he's been really good. 5,600, you can use him with a modicum of confidence. 8,300 for Paul Millsap feels too high for me. He'd want to go for 40, 42 points, and I'm just not sure he has that in him at this point. He is still a pretty good, solid cash game guy if you're looking for one of those higher salary plays who can go for 40, but it's not going to hurt you if things go wrong. Isaiah Thomas at 8,100 is also not a bad point guard on the ball, on the board, averaging 38 in those last three games and had a monster in the last one. But I feel like you could be chasing points if you're going to go after you had a career high game and go back to that well. I don't think I'd want to do that. Jeff Teague had been really poor until the last game, which was against the Sixers, but we're not running point guards out there against Boston. It's just not going to work out. And Dennis Schroeder, forget about using him as well. I think the last two games he's had big minutes. I imagine the minutes go back down, and then you've got the Avery Bradley defense effect on the point guards there. Anyone else we really need to cover in this game? I reckon I'll get the feeling there's someone I'm missing. Am I missing anyone? No, Kent Bazemore, that's the guy. 5,500, he's averaging 28 points. This Jay Crowder and the Celtics do lock down wings as well, so there's that effect on Bazemore. So it's not the best matchup to use him, but he's been playing really good, so I know it's going to be hard to avoid getting him out there in a lineup, but I reckon you're going to be able to find other easier situations to get him into lineups, or you're going to have a better player on the day who is going to provide, hopefully, more value than Bazemore. The Raptors and the Heat are up next. Miami is favored by 4. The total is 187.5, and you should know that is not a very high total. Josh McRoberts is out, ruled out already, and Tyler Johnson's still battling that shoulder issue, so we're probably going to see more Gerald Green. At 3,800, still a really cheap salary. It's fine using him in a tournament, and even in a cash game, if we find that Tyler Johnson's out, he could just easily just give you 20 points, 21 points, 22 points, and that's pretty solid. Luol Deng's been getting a stack of minutes lately, 35 a game for the last three, 36 a game, sorry, averaging 27 points at 4,700. This is a situation where I can sort of use Luol Deng and think maybe something good's going to come of it, or just some solid performances, and while he's hot and while he's getting these extra run, maybe we get involved with using him. Bismack Biyombo at 4,000 is almost a must-play guy, averaging 31 points across his last three, 25 across his last five, at 33 minutes a game in those last three games, put up 45 today. He's someone that you can definitely use and hope that things go well. The problem is that he's going to be playing against Hassan Whiteside. Does that impact his ability to grab rebounds? Maybe a little bit. So I'll say it makes me come down on him a little bit, but his value at 4,000 is big enough where I can still look at getting him out there. Now, DeMar DeRozan at 7,700, he's been playing superbly, almost averaging 40 across the last three, a minimum score in his last five of 33, so massively high floor. Deploy him and be pretty happy about it, I reckon. Hassan Whiteside at 7,200, too much uncertainty for me to go and use him in terms of what sort of minutes is going to happen. Are the fouls going to be there? In a tournament, yes, but aside from that, no. Chris Bosh at 29 points in his last three at 7,300. Don't mind it. It's definitely not superb. And Goran Dragic at 5,600, probably quietly, he's averaging 30.4 points across the last three games, which is pretty good at that salary point. So I'm okay using him. The Raptors are not a shutdown opposition point guard sort of team, so he can be used, and Kyle Lowry will definitely want to bounce back after that poor performance, but against the Heat, it's probably the wrong opposition to do it against. 8,900, I reckon we can leave him alone and use him in another on another day. Detroit and Chicago is the next game. The Bulls are favored by 4. The total is 195. No injuries for us to be too concerned about. Andre Drummond is definitely worth a look. At 9,000, the Bulls give up so many points to opposition centers. We know what Drummond can do. He's averaging almost 40 points across his last five with a minimum of 26.7 in that same time frame. At 9,000, you know he can be a 50-point guy. Okay with using him, definitely. Ersan Ilyasova is trending up at 5,000, and this is a situation where you would think that he should be able to get that 27, 28 minutes. Against the Bulls, he's not going up against an awesomely talented power forward. Maybe, look, unless the Bulls play Gasol and Noah a lot, which they could, but Taj Gibson is not going to worry Ersan Ilyasova too much. Nikola Mirotic is not getting much playing time. We could see Ilyasova with 27 to 28 minutes, and at $5,000, all he needs is 25 points, which is definitely within his repertoire. He's had a 36-point performance in his last five. Reggie Jackson at 7,300, averaging 40 in the last three games. Derrick Rose has not provided a huge huge resistance, so Jackson is pretty good to get out there. And so is Joakim Noah. At 4,900, probably still remains a tournament play, but averaging almost 30 in his last three, definitely getting some more minutes of late. Not a bad tournament guy to look at. Pau Gasol at 8,400. He was red hot at one stage. The salary's gone up. The production has come down a little bit, averaging only 32 across the last three in 30 minutes. At 8,400, he needs to go 40, 42, that sort of range. And not really sure he's going to be able to do that. His highest score in his last five is just 42, which is basically where you want him to be. 8,300 for Jimmy Butler, a similar situation for him, only averaging 32 at 8,300. A lower floor than what Gasol has over the last five games with a low score of 23.6. The Pistons and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope do a pretty good job against opposition shooting guards, so this is not the spot for me to use. For me to use Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, the same situation. I don't want to get him out there at 6,400. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, been playing fantastically. 5,900, averaging 38 points across his last three games. Everything is going right for him. I'm okay with using him here. I reckon you can keep riding that. The Bulls are not you know, really limiting fantasy points coming from their opposition shooting guard, so he can be used. We have to get off Nikola Mirotic until we see him getting back to 20 minutes a game, which hopefully comes soon, but who knows. And Dougie McDermott at 3,600. Yeah, look, he can get hot, and he can knock down 25 or 26 points, which might not be a bad tournament lineup, but I don't think the upside is really there for him to be someone to slot into your lineup and have any sort of confidence with. The Spurs and the Clippers is the next game. The Spurs are favored by 7.5. The total is 194.5, and you would hope that the Clippers can keep it close, because if they don't, getting value out of the Spurs players is basically impossible. Still don't mind Kawhi Leonard at 8,900. He's averaging 42 across the last three. I reckon you can get him out there and be pretty confident with it. The other guys, LaMarcus Aldridge, no. Tony Parker, no. Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, David West, Boris Diaw, no. Danny Green at 3,500, hey, maybe in a tournament, throw it. It's a minimum salary, maybe it works out. And it can work out to a pretty big degree. He could drop 40 fantasy points through contributions in multiple categories. But he's just been so bad lately. Clippers players, nothing gets me too excited. Chris Paul at 8,500 seems okay. He's averaging 40 points across the last three, so that's a tick. Blake Griffin's averaging 40 as well. He's at 9,200. So both of those guys definitely have their appeal. But with the way the Spurs have been blowing teams out, you've got this trepidation. Like, are they going to play a full game? Are they going to get squashed by these Spurs guys? The risk is definitely real. DeAndre Jordan got ejected in his last game, so don't look at the total and go, oh, he only had less than 20 points in the last game. That's the reason. He's averaging 27, including that dud in his last three. He's basically a 30-point guy, and at 7,400, I think that's not terrible value. I don't know if the Spurs will really eliminate him too much, unless they go with the Hacker DeAndre setting or situation, and then his minutes might be limited. So that's a little bit of a concern as well. The next game is the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Kings are favored by 2.5. We've got a huge total here, 212.5 points. Kevin Garnett missed the last game for the Timberwolves due to rest, as did Kevin Martin, who's got that sore wrist now. An MRI revealed that Martin's sore wrist is just a bruise, so no structural damage, so that's obviously good news for him. It's not good news for us as fantasy owners, because we don't know how Martin is now going to be reintroduced into the lineup after Tayshaun Prince got the start in the last game. Gorgui Dieng still at 4,800. The minutes have been coming his way. He's been producing. I like using him a lot here against Sacramento as well. But the value, I think most of the value comes from Kings guys. Omri Caspi at 5,000. He's averaging 40 minutes across his last three games. 32 points. Definitely get him out there. And DeMarcus Cousins at 9,800. He's got an average score of 43 across his last three. This is a 50-spot situation for Cousins here. Zach LaVine has also been playing really well. Hopefully the return of Martin won't stop him from getting 29 minutes or 28 minutes. At 5,900, there is still a little bit of risk there, but he's averaging 30 points across the last three. You can get something out of him. I think there's more of a solid cash game situation for him. Darren Collison was big in the last game, but that's because there was no Rajon Rondo, so don't look at that and get too excited. Ricky Rubio at 7,200 almost dropped a quadruple double in the last game. This is an easy matchup for point guards, the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging 32 points across his last five. Yes, he can have some bad nights, but the minutes are up. He's playing a lot better. Don't hate it. 7,200 for Karl Anthony Towns. Not a massive fan of it in this situation. And 6,500 for Andrew Wiggins. I'll probably leave that alone. He needs to do more than just score 20 points a game. Rudy Gay at 7,300. That price has come up a little bit, so I don't think we want to get too much on him. Although he is averaging almost 35 points across the last three. Dropped 46 in the last game. Got a pretty solid floor in his value too, so not a terrible guy to go out there and use. Rajon Rondo returning, 8,600. The salary is still high. He's averaging 42 across the last three. Yeah, I'm okay with getting Rondo out there in this matchup at 8,600. He can easily put up 40 points. He's averaging 39 across those last five games. So yeah, the value's been pretty consistent. We know he can go for 50. He's not a bad guy to have a look at. The next game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks. Chandler Parsons looks like he will play. Suffered a bit of a bump on his knee in the last game. He'll be right to go. John Jenkins is dealing with a concussion, but he doesn't play anyway, and Devin Harris has already been ruled out. So that means we're going to get more Ray Felton. 4,900 for Ray Felton, averaging over 30 in the last three. Definitely have to consider him in all your lineups. Chandler Parsons at 4,000. That's a really low salary, but I'm still going to avoid it. I don't know if I really want to get him out there. He's just not producing enough. For the Grizzlies, we have to check the status of Tony Allen. I imagine Tony Allen plays. He almost played the last game against the Bulls, so I think that he should be right to go here. And that's going to impact Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, and Courtney Lee. Even if he plays, I still like Barnes at 4,500. I still like Green at 4,500. They're averaging 27 and 26.5 respectively, which is really good at that salary. Both of those guys, I think, are pretty decent plays against the Mavericks here. Mike Conley has been very, very up and down. At 6,100, though, his salary is not that high. He's averaging 29 points, which is basically what you need him to do. And Dallas is not a difficult matchup. This could be a big Mike Conley game. And Darren Williams, after a really good start to the season, has cooled off a little bit, averaging under 25 in his last three. This is not the spot that I really want to go and use him, I don't think. And Wes Matthews is probably still a bit variable in his performance to rely upon in cash games. Marc Gasol at 7,600. Yeah, it's okay. We know he can go big and he can drop 50, but will he do it here? I reckon there's other better options around. Dirk at 7,000, I'll leave that alone. Zaza at 6,300, not really for me. And Courtney Lee, who's been big lately at 4,200, he's gone past the 4,000 threshold, but he's still worth throwing out there in a tournament, averaging 26 points. Tony Allen will impact him, I've got no doubt, if he plays. But if Allen's out, Lee gets a much bigger boost in his value. The next game is the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are favored by 5. We've got a total of 195.5 here. Emmanuel Mudiay may be back. He's considered questionable at the moment, so that's going to obviously impact anything we do with Jameer Nelson. As for Utah, Rodney Hood is questionable. He practiced a little bit today, so he should be right to go. And Joe Ingles missed a game due to oral surgery. He'll likely be back in as well. Hood's a guy that at 4,300 seems cheap, but he hasn't been producing. But all he needs to do is give you 22 points at that salary to be worthwhile. So in a tournament, you can get him out there. And the Nuggets do allow opposition wings to put up huge, huge numbers. So I'm okay with using him. 8,000 for Derek Favors. Favorable matchup for him also. Gordon Hayward at 7,000, I like it. And Trevor Booker at 4,200. Don't be worried that he's coming off the bench. There's still a little bit of something there for him. This could be a game where he can still get 27 minutes, which he's averaging in the last three. The production hasn't quite been there, but this is a Denver team where the production could start to come for him. So I'm okay with getting him out there. On the other side of things, for Denver, Will Barton's averaging 33. He's at 6,000 now, so his salary's rising, but it's still not at the point where we don't want to use him. He still can be used, I think. Emmanuel Mudiay, if he plays, it's going to limit what Jameer Nelson's able to do, so we don't want to use Nelson. Now, if there is no Mudiay, Nelson, you would hope, would get 30 minutes. He didn't in the last game, but he could here, so if there is no Mudiay, Nelson at 4,300 becomes a look. Now, Emmanuel Mudiay at 4,900 is marginally intriguing, but really not yet. Don't want to get him out there. And Gary Harris at 3,700. He stunk in the last game. I don't want to put him out there. Nikola Jokic at 4,100 is a really cheap center. He's averaging over 20 minutes a game in the last three, almost 24 fantasy points in that time as well. So at $4,100, it's not a bad guy to look at, even if he's coming off the bench behind Lavernier, because he's been playing more minutes and putting up better production in that time frame. Kenneth Faried at 6,600. He's averaging 32 points, which is impressive, but I want him to do more than that. I don't think I need to. I don't really want to roster him. I'll leave it at that. The Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz, the next game up. The Phoenix Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Suns are favored by 3.5. We've got the biggest total of the day at 214.5 points. John Lua at 4,600 was... Now, Jeff Hornacek has got one of the more underrated, confusing rotations in the NBA. He played 14 minutes last game, Lua. He's more of a 30-minute-a-game guy at 4,600. Maybe people will be off him here. I'm okay with getting back on with him. I think that he can be a huge value play here. I like Eric Bledsoe as one of the better, higher-priced guys on the board. A 42-point average across his last five games is really rock-solid, and we know he's got 50-point upside, whereas Brandon Knight against the Pelicans as a point guard is a pretty decent matchup as well. So at 7,600, I can see getting Knight out there, especially after a couple of quiet games. Drew Holiday on the Pelicans, 5,300. That's not expensive. Averaging over 30 points his last five games in just 25 minutes. I'm definitely okay with getting Drew Holiday out there. Same with Tyreek at 7,200, who's been averaging 36 points. And that's including, that's in his last three games. He's averaging 31 across the last five, including a game where he had 3.9. So he's good value. Eric Gordon at 4,900. Nah, no thank you for me. Alex Len and Tyson Chandler, I'm leaving those guys alone if they're going to split minutes equally. Anthony Davis at 10,500. He struggled in the last game to put up fantasy points, but 10,500, it's a relatively cheap price for a guy who could be a 45 or 46-point fantasy guy. TJ Warren was great in the last game, but had struggled before that. And Ryan Anderson's been really consistent. 6,600, averaging almost 30 in the last three. You can definitely get him out there and have a look, and hopefully you get something of use from him. The last game of the night, it's revenge time. The Milwaukee Bucks travel to Golden State. The Warriors are favored by 19.5. That is massive. The total is 211. Greg Monroe was thought to be out a week, but he's been upgraded to doubtful. So we still didn't think he's playing, but he did get upgraded. That means we're probably going to see an inexplicable minute split between Miles Plumlee and John Henson. Just give Henson minutes. Just give him 30 minutes, and then he's a must-own player. 3,800 for him. I still don't mind using him. He's actually put up 24.6 fantasy points in 21 minutes in the last game, averaging almost 18 in the last three. At 3,800, he could go out there and go 14 and 10 with four blocks in 22 minutes. That's what he can do. Don't hate using him. It's definitely a tournament option, but there's something to be said for getting him out there. OJ Mayo at 5,100. The salary is creeping up. Not sure that I want to use him against the Warriors. Same goes with Michael Carter-Williams, who is at 6,000, and he's been playing well, but this is not a good matchup to get him out there either. Klay Thompson at 6,900, love it. I'd still be playing him. And Draymond Green at 9,100, that's getting up there, but he's averaging 54 points. in his last three games. It's huge. I think we're going to see a big, big Draymond game, so I'm okay with getting him out there. And Steph Curry at 10,900 could be an easy 50 spot for Steph as well. Not sure that the Bucks are going to... the Warriors are going to be focused here. They're going to want to smash the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, does he stay on the bench? Who knows? Who knows what Jason Kidd's going to do? So if he's on the bench, there's always a risk that his minutes will come down a little bit. I'm not keen on using him at $6,800 here. All right, that is it, guys. We are done for today's podcast. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at RedRock. Or you know what? Let's put up the daily fantasy plays before we sign off. Haha. Point guard, Ray Felton, 4,900. Drew Holiday, 5,300. Brandon Knight, 7,600. At shooting guard, Rod Stuckey, 47. Zach LaVine, 5,900, which obviously increases if Kevin Martin's out. Eric Bledsoe at 88. Small forward, Matt Barnes, 45. Omri Caspi, 5,000. And Kawhi Leonard, 8,900. At power forward, we have John Lewis at 4,600. Kristaps Porzingis at 6,400. And Derek Favors at 8,000. Centers, we've got Bismack Biyombo, 4,000. Jahlil Okafor, 6,600. And DeMarcus Cousins, 9,800. Let's try that again. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is Bask Monster. Make sure you're following that account, which Matt Smith, myself, Kyle McEwen run the account, and we tweet out all late-breaking information that happens, so make sure you're getting involved and following that, because it's pretty much a must-follow account. Use No Halftime. 25 free bucks. Can't stress that enough. Use the promo code DUNK to get yourself those free $25. Of course, there's Moneyball as a sponsor as well. Check them out. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, iTunes review. Very straightforward. And thank you to the guys who, again, left a few more overnight. So really, really happy to read those each day. It's honestly fantastic. You guys have such kind things to say about the show, and we'll go out of your time and spend 5 minutes to go and do that on iTunes to help the podcast grow. I really, really appreciate it. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.